According to my book, Mark, we should be in Psalm 67 tonight. So what you had, Jack? I bookmarked it last time, but good. I often forget to bookmark it. If it's 2 weeks and I haven't bookmarked, sometimes it's hard to remember, but I did this time. And I read back. So my problem generally is I'm reading maybe one or two or three psalms ahead sometimes, and then I can't remember if I just happened to read it or if I actually spoke on it or not. Did I read that and study it, or did I actually speak on it? So I'm using my bookmark now to try to remember where I'm at. Psalm 67, and this is a short psalm, but it's a rather good psalm. I found a lot of good things to think about in here. 67, Psalm 67. And I'm just going to read the whole psalm to start with. It's only 7 verses long, so it's pretty short. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Now, if you notice, if you thought about what's in here, this is a prophetic psalm, of course, specifically, but it also has a general thought that we won't consider the prophetic meaning of the general thought. Is that right? Anyway, my point is there's lessons to this, and then there's a prophecy in here as well. How's that? But I like the way he started this out, and I want to notice that this statement, he says, God be merciful unto us and bless us. He says, and cause his face to shine upon us. And you don't have to turn if you want to, but in Numbers, the 6th chapter, in the 6th chapter of Numbers, in verse 22, we have this. It says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. So I really wanted to notice that this is not just something that Aaron came up with, but something the Lord told him to say, to bless the children of Israel. And this is what he was supposed to say in verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And I've always loved this blessing that is in here. And I know in Paraguay, often when someone was getting ready to travel, they were going to be gone for a while. We were at the Bible school, and so we had students that came, and they were there for 3 months, and then they left. And were gone for, I don't remember how long. But anyway, they were gone for a while, and then they came back later. And we'd always have a going away kind of meeting, I guess, for them. And a lot of times this verse would get read as part of that, these verses here. But this thought, you know, about causing his face to shine upon us. And the thought that's in that statement has to do with being accepted, for God to look upon us. Now, if you think to the cross, which is where we have to kind of go to, I guess, and remember that on the cross that Jesus cried, and we heard that this morning, didn't we? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God had to look away. Because God can't look upon sin. And that's our condition outside of Christ. Without Christ, we're sinful, and God can't shine his face upon us, so to speak. And so, to me, I found meaning in this because, Paul says in Ephesians, right, he says, we're made accepted in the beloved. And now God can shine his face upon us. And it's a special blessing because it speaks about God's mercy and God's grace. See the statement here, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And that is God's grace. And that's been a little bit of the theme today, it seems like. about God's grace that we experienced. Tom had up there on the thing this morning, grace changes everything. And that's the truth. And so this is a great blessing to start with. Now, I didn't want to really delve into the prophetic part of this chapter too much, but I just want to point out that there's coming a time for Israel when this will really come to pass in a specific way, because God will certainly, his people will become accepted again, if you will, because they will see their Messiah. And he will certainly shine his face upon them, and they will be blessed. And if you saw this, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy and so on, there's a time that's coming. But in the meantime, there's an application that we can take from this about God's blessings upon us and his grace that makes us accepted in the beloved. That it was interesting to me that he wrote such a short piece and then wrote Selah. A lot of times Selah's somewhere down in the, you know, a few paragraphs in or something, there might be a Selah in there. But here it's just this short little statement and then Selah. Stop and think about that. It's something important to think about. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. All of our blessings do come from our Lord. And of course, this morning we heard that we're blessed in Abraham because of our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, right? Abraham, by faith, he was counted righteous, and because of Jesus Christ, seed of Abraham, and our faith in him, we're also counted righteous, and we are blessed then with our father Abraham. Verse 2 says, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among the nations. And I guess I felt like I probably shouldn't have tried to separate these two verses like I just did, but because they're not really supposed to be. So now we're going to put them back together a little bit, right? Because the first verse is God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face shine upon us. And there's a purpose. See, the purpose is in the second verse. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Now, again, there's a prophetic side of this, right? Because Israel will definitely be a light to the nations. But there's an application for us today in that as God blesses us and has made us accepted in the beloved, we can show that forth to others, right? So that he says that thy way may be known upon the earth. In other words, we're supposed to show others. We're not supposed to just keep that blessing to ourselves. And there's something marvelous that we have to be accepted by God because of Jesus Christ. That is the good news, the gospel of God's grace. And we should make that known to others. He says, thy saving health among all the nations. Speaking God's gospel, my brain's kind of going around. Speaking God's gospel to others, that is saving health. Now, in the Hebrew, that's one word, by the way, saving health. And one of the meanings of it is deliverance. That's salvation. Another one is prosperity. And I know probably some preachers like to grab onto that little piece of it to try to do their thing. But it's speaking to us about spiritual prosperity. And certainly we can let others know that there is deliverance. You know, today people really need to know that there's deliverance. What was I reading just the other day? Something about bondage, and I can't remember all the details of it, but it was speaking about, I should probably find it sometime. My friend George Huggins, who writes so often and some really interesting, deep things at times, he was speaking about how often we're in bondage to things that we don't acknowledge in our lives. And he's right. You know, and his point was that sometimes he was kind of talking about people being self-righteous and not recognizing. And sometimes that's true, but you know, there's deliverance, and we know that there's deliverance from all those bondages. This morning we had really good lesson about God's grace and being delivered from the curse, because it says that Jesus was made a curse for us so that we could be delivered from that curse. And in that book of Galatians, what we learn is we've been delivered from the bondage of the law. And so there is deliverance, and we can let other people know that. We have experienced God's deliverance by his grace, and so we have something that others need, and we can let them know. Verse 3 says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And so this is a general call to praise for all people. Well, clearly not everybody is praising God. But again, the application is to us that we certainly can and should be praising him. And of course, this morning we had some thoughts about it's important to recognize God's hand in all things. And something Arlene said to me after that I thought was really good, which is we should be looking for God's hand in everything. And that's a really important part of that, because if we're just kind of ambling through life and occasionally maybe we just happen to recognize that God's done something, no, we should be looking for God's hand in everything in our lives, even the things that aren't great, the things that happen to us that seem bad at the time. We should be looking for God's hand in that, because he is working. And that should elicit praise from us. Now, again, going over to the prophetic side just a little bit here, there is a time, of course, when all the people will certainly praise him. That's a time that's coming. But in the meantime, we have the privilege of bringing praise to him, and he deserves our praise. Verse 4, O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. And so you can see very clearly in here, definitely the prophetic note in this verse. God is always a righteous judge, but this clearly points to a time when he will be sitting on the throne, governing and judging all the people, whether they like it or not. Today, God is allowing a space of grace for man to come to him, but there's a time when he will sit, and he does today judge righteously, and he always will judge righteously. And this is, to me, I see in this a little bit of a call for that, because notice it says, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously. That to me, the tone in there is a bit of, we really need this, right? And if you think about the way the world is today, we could certainly say the same thing. We really need one to judge righteously. Well, we know who that one is, and we know without a doubt that he is coming and that he will judge righteously. And in the meantime, we submit ourselves to his working in our lives and to his judging in our lives the things that need to be judged in our lives. He does so righteously. And there, this again ends with a Selah, of course, this portion here. Again, something to really think about. If you think about the way the world is today, that, to me, this is a verse that is good to consider, because it is a call for something that is very, very necessary. And then he comes back to repeat essentially verse 3 here. He says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And these two verses, 3 and 4, go together, of course, and then 5 and 6 go together. But let all the people praise thee. And in verse 4, he says, oh, let all nations be glad and sing for joy. There's a praise that comes that God deserves, and it brings about something. And this is what I kind of wanted to notice, I guess. So verse 3 goes with verse 4. So let the people praise thee, and then there comes one who judges righteously. Verse 5, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. He says, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. And again, we have to be careful with understanding the timing of this, because I know some people want to take this out of its context and say, well, if we'll just praise the Lord, then you know, everything will be wonderful here. No, there is coming a time when the earth will certainly yield her increase, and there will be blessing abundant. But in the meantime, again, there's a little application for our lives. There's always an application for us, because there is an increase to be yielded by praising God. Everything in this world is not going to become hunky-dory suddenly because we are praising God. And we need to understand that and recognize that. That's not why we're praising God, by the way. We're praising God because he deserves to be praised. There is something that's going to come out of that. And in our lives, we will see an increase. We will see an increase, a growing, if you will. Now, there's coming a day when, all people will praise him. And it's hard to even imagine what that's going to be like when he is in control and the curse essentially has been lifted, to think about what the earth might be like in that state. It's hard to think about it. We see some things now, you know, we go, oh, that's so beautiful and that's so wonderful and that's so, you know, all these things. And we, you know, we see a nice, really pretty stream of water that's real clean. You go, oh, that's so pretty and so nice. And even that's not in its best state that God will have it in. So it's hard to really kind of understand what it's really going to be like. But we know that he is going to accomplish what he has said he's going to accomplish. That we can trust. And, you know, not knowing exactly what it's going to be like is actually great, because it gives us something to really look forward to see what God is going to do, to recognize and understand. I think in that day we'll have a better glimpse of just how terrible the curse was, how terrible sin was, what the destructive force of sin, if you will. I think in that day we're going to really have a better understanding of that. But for now, we are called to praise God. And verse 7, he says, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And of course, there's definitely a prophetic statement there. Because right now, all the ends of the earth do not fear God. But there is coming a day. We know there's a day that's coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. God will bless us. You know, this is a prophecy for God's people Israel, by the way, because they will be blessed. They will find great blessing there when they come to their Messiah. They will find great blessing in that time. And it will be a marvelous, marvelous time. Our Lord ruling and judging righteously and reigning, and blessings on this earth. And, of course, we will be in a heavenly blessing. But there is coming a time, and it's something to look forward to. The truth of the matter is that today God blesses us in many, many ways. And the most important of those are the spiritual blessings that he gives us. Because those spiritual blessings, sometimes when, you know, we look at the spiritual blessings and we think, well, what do I do with this? Because we're in a natural world, right? And we think, well, what do I do with that? Well, we need to understand that is God preparing us and getting us ready for something much, much better. And we need to lay hold of those things. As we lay hold more and more of those spiritual blessings that God gives us, we find more and more that the things of this world seem to have less interest in them. There seems to be less luster and shine to the things of the world as we allow ourselves to lay hold of God's spiritual blessings. So God blesses us. God blesses us in the natural. He gives us the things that we need. We're very blessed. We're very blessed people, but as I say, to me, the most important blessings are the spiritual ones, and we need to lay hold of them at every opportunity. And that's all I have tonight. It's a short little psalm, but I thought it was a pretty good little psalm. I always like that saying, cause his face to shine upon us.